Welcome to the Mara Coward Broadcast. The Mara Coward Broadcast is a God-driven, God-centered, God-inspired talk show featuring God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I am that I am your host, Anthony Ford, and I'm very grateful to my Father, our Father, for allowing me to be here on Friday with my brother, Brother Tony Myers. And as you know, every Friday, Brother Tony Myers blends all of his spiritual experience, wisdom, and knowledge and shares it with us. He shares with us and opens our eyes and hearts and inspires many of us. I encourage you, if you are now listening to the Mark Howard broadcast, please have a pad, a pencil, a pen, or whatever you write with. It doesn't matter what Bible interpretation you have, get one and have one. And listen very closely to what Brother Tony Myers says to you. Don't take it as him. Take it as the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Really, I'm serious. I'm not saying that. Take it as that. You will be surprised how much of the information and spiritual wisdom that he imparts sticks with you. If you don't think of it as Brother Tony, because you think of him as, oh, he's just a regular guy. No. Think of it as the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And you will be much more blessed and remember what he's saying. With that said, Brother Tony Myers, it's yours.
So let's talk about John the Baptist.
All right.
Because we're going to talk about how, in our Western mindset, we got things so misconstrued, the way we read the Bible, the way we study the Bible, and that we come to so many wrong conclusions. And we're going to start, you know, when it comes to healing, we think that Jesus, in each individual teaching, is trying to teach us how to pray for other people's healing. That ain't true. He's not. Or did y'all done forget the verse that states, I have not come, but only for the lost sheep of the children of Israel. So guess what? Those healings that happened, now they are a sign, absolutely, for us. But they were not meant specifically for us. They were not meant to teach us how to pray for the sick. I've just busted a million bubbles. We think that all the individual hands, okay, let's study. Why did Jesus do this? Why did he do this? This is what he meant. And to a certain extent, you can do that. I'm not saying you absolutely cannot do that. Jesus was doing it for the people in his day and age and his culture to show them. That's what everything was based around. Jesus came for the children of Israel until the cross. Hello? Jesus was a Jew. He was born underneath the law to fulfill the law. And so we don't read like that. That's where we get a lot of misconstrued ideas on healing, because we are not of the Jewish culture. And so what is running throughout the individual healings is something that most people don't even have a clue about. Most people think every healing was a messianic miracle. No, every healing was not a messianic miracle. Healing of a fever had been done before. Jesus did not bring something brand new, such as praying for the sick. He wasn't the first person to pray for the sick.
Amen.
That was part of their culture. The priests, the rabbis, the leaders in the synagogue, they all prayed for people. Now, in the Old Covenant, there was a hierarchy. Okay? So, no, not everybody prayed for the sick. Because there was a hierarchy. You had the high priest, and then on down the line, the Levitical priesthood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was a hierarchy, which we don't have in the New Covenant.
Right.
Jesus is our only advocate. The children of Israel chose Moses. So, with that in mind, I'm going to show you what everybody misses out on. It starts with John the Baptist. When he's imprisoned, it makes me furious. Well, this great man, the one who Jesus called the greatest of all the Old Covenant prophets, the one who had the Holy Spirit from birth. When he was in prison, he became scared. He knew he was going to die, and so his faith was weak. That is such a bogus teaching and not true at all. You cannot prove to me that's true. And I challenge somebody, prove to me that's true, because I'm fixing to prove to you that's not true. The whole reason that John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, is he the one, or do we wait for another? Very specific question. Are you the one, or are we waiting on another? In other words, John was saying, prove to me. He was not lacking in faith. He still remembered he was the one that announced that Jesus was the Messiah. He wasn't backing off from that. What he was doing was what he was supposed to do. Get evidence of the messianic miracles. And those were set aside. They are four miracles set aside. No one had been healed of, or in the case of leprosy, no one had been healed from in the Old Covenant, during the Old Covenant. You had Nahum, but he was not a Jew. You had Miriam, which I'm not even going to get into that, but the latest thing I've studied out with Miriam was she probably did die from leprosy. She was not healed from leprosy. We know Moses asked God to take the leprosy away from her and have mercy on her. That's a whole nother teaching. Doesn't really have anything to do with this. Mm-hmm. But my point being, leprosy, which was one of the four miracles, under the law of Moses, they were set into place. The priests were to call somebody cleansed. There was that sacrament set aside specifically for leprosy to be declared clean. Now, one thing is, clean meant healed as well, okay? I know there's teachings out there that say, well, they weren't healed. They were just cleansed. They weren't cleansed unless they were healed, okay? Amen. They're just throw that crap in the trash. All right. There's so much nonsense, you know, people try and find little avenues so they can teach their way. But truth is, to be cleansed meant you were healed. It's all encompassing. So leprosy, that rite, had never been needed. It had been set into place but never used until Jesus. And that's a fact, okay? Check it out. That had never been used until Jesus. So what John wanted to see, and why he sent his disciples, because his disciples were supposed to be a witness to the four miracles. Jesus never verbally answered John's disciples.
Right.
He does not say, yes, I am. Go back and tell John, yes. What does he do? See, these are red flags. Hey, look for something to happen here that we don't look for. What does Jesus do? He takes them around. Now, John's disciples already know Jesus is healing people. John already knew Jesus was healing people. So why send the disciples out when you already know they're being, because it was specific miracles. That's why. You see, often, and before John was in prison, let me prove this. Before John was in prison, they were close enough together at one point that you had Jesus ministering over here. You had John ministering over there. Then there comes an argument between the disciples of John's and Jesus'. And that's when John says, hey, you know, that's because Jesus is the one. I'm going to decrease. My ministry is going to decrease. And that's where John the Baptist turns around and states again who Jesus was. So John's disciples had seen Jesus doing miracles. So why take them around? Why did John send them? To see the specific miracles. That's why. It had nothing to do with John having a lack of faith. Oh, poor John knew he was going to be beheaded, and so he was lacking in faith now. No, he wasn't. So, John sent the disciples out. He was doing what he was supposed to do as the one to make straight the path for the Lord. He was the gatekeeper, and he was the one that, because now he had concrete evidence. I guarantee before he was beheaded, he was telling his disciples, this is the Messiah. He performed the four miracles. And those four messianic miracles, leprosy, casting out the deaf mute spirit, raising the dead after 72 hours, and birth defects. Those were the four messianic miracles. And that is exactly when you look, Jesus takes them around and then states, go back and tell him. The dead's raised, lepers are cleansed, the lame walk, the blind see, the mute speak. Each one of the four miracles are covered. They saw it for themselves. That's what's going on. Not John lacking the faith. John was doing what he was supposed to do and declaring without a doubt that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah. And that's what was going on. But we don't see that. Now, that's what's going on. And let me explain something about the deaf-mute spirit. The deaf-mute spirit does more than just make a person mute and deaf. All right? That's a part.
Okay.
But the other part that people don't realize is it also, and this is all according to Jewish beliefs, also makes people crazy, such as the man from the tombs. That was the deaf-mute spirit. And if you look, he was not talking coherently when he was chained up. Correct?
Right.
He was not talking intelligibly. That was a deaf-mute spirit. So now, in the individual healings, that's what you're looking for when you're reading the Gospels and the healings. Because, and there are surefire ways you can tell if it's a messianic miracle. One, all the people are amazed. That's one warning flag. Hello? If they're all amazed, these are people that lived in a culture of miracles. They had the showbread as a testimony of the bread coming down from heaven. Okay, so the miraculous, especially when it came to healings, were common. So when they're amazed, there's a reason they're amazed. The reason being, it was one of those things. So first, and I'm not doing this in any real specific order, but you had the leper, the singular leper, that, according to my chronological Bible, came first. But once again, the exact order doesn't matter. But you had the single leper, and Jesus healed him and then said, don't tell anyone. Which he was being more specific because he told him to go to the temple and do the offering and have the priest check him out. In other words, that was going to be one of the first times ever since Moses had given the law that would be enacted. What he meant was not to tell the priest who healed him. Because had he told the priests, then guess what? The Pharisees would have been on to him sooner, and they would have been out to kill him sooner and all that. Okay?
Right.
Kind of presumptive on my part, but I do believe that it holds water well. That was the reason why Jesus said, but don't tell, and he meant the priests. Don't tell the priests who healed you. And then we get, and there was more than one, because Jesus was traveling around Israel. He did not just stay in Jerusalem. And so you've got the 10 lepers. Once again, same deal. He tells them, you know, don't tell the priests. And so you've had him performing these miracles. Now, once he performed the miracles, and in fact, in Matthew 10, the four miracles, and it's hard to tell, in different chronological books are a little different, but at least I can't guarantee that Lazarus, the fourth one, was fulfilled exactly at this time I'm fixing to say, but the other three had been many times over. That was when in chapter 10, in Matthew 9 or 10, it would have been Matthew 9. That's when Jesus anoints the disciples to go out and heal the sick. This was after the miracles. He had already performed the miracles. So now they were released to heal anything. Okay? Once that happened. Now, the lead up to that was, that is when they accused Jesus of casting out the demons, which they specifically meant the deaf mute spirit, by the prince of demons, by Beelzebub. And that was once the messianic miracles had been performed.
Right.
That's when he released his disciples. And then you will notice from that point on, there are less individual healings, although they're still scattered throughout, but they're less. It's more of Jesus preaching then. And so that's what's going on. Yeah, the lepers. Now, you get this, the blind, the man born blind. Well, let's do the demoniac first. Okay. You have the demoniac. That was the deaf mute spirit. We've already agreed. He wasn't talking. He was crazy. An insane person. He may have been babbling, but he was not being intelligible, right?
Right.
I've had one person try to question me on that. I'm like, was he intelligible? Can you even see? They didn't chain him up and he's talking like a rocket scientist. Okay?
Not at all.
All right. So I just wanted to dive in there and make that one little statement. He was not being intelligible. It says, you know, in the account, it says he was crying out. Yeah, he was crying out like a crazy man.
Right, right.
He was not speaking intelligently. And so here he comes up. And once again, depends on translation, but Jesus had already rebuked him and told him to leave, and the demons through the man was begging them not to send to the desolate place, to send him into the pigs. That's when Jesus asked them their name. Now, here's the thing. With casting out demons, it was a ritual. In order to cast a demon out, the Levitical priesthood would have to do certain things in order to cast out the demon. The Levitical priesthood would not even pray over someone that was a deaf mute. Because one of the things they had to do was ask the demons its name. So those of you that think you have to ask the demons its name today, you're not following Jesus. You're not following what Jesus demonstrated. He wasn't demonstrating it for that purpose, to show you how to do it. You're following the Pharisees. You're following the Levitical priesthood. Sorry. Lord, I apologize. But aside from me being sarcastic as I'll get out, Jesus did not ask Legion to set an example for us. The priest would not even pray for a deaf-mute spirit to be cast out, because they knew they couldn't. Why? Because the deaf-mute spirit wouldn't answer them, so they couldn't cast it out. That was their belief. So, first of all, when the demons speak out after Jesus told them to leave, that wowed the religious folk right there, right? Because the deaf-mute spirit talked.
Right.
Then, when Jesus asked him its name, he did that for the specific purpose to prove he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He asked them their name. That left no question mark whatsoever. He was actually thumbing his nose at religious tradition. Then, now we're going to go on to the man born blind. And once again, with the deaf mute spirit, there's six examples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of the deaf mute spirit being cast out by Jesus. And in fact, in those examples, as I was stating earlier, they were amazed. Especially Matthew, I think it's 9, like 27. I've got a list of them somewhere. I just don't have it on me right this moment. So you can look and you can see which ones were the four miracles. And as you're reading the Gospels, pay attention now. Check it out. With a man born blind. All right, birth defects. They did not pray over birth defects. Once again, they believed it was a generational curse sent by God, so it could not be healed, that God was punishing for a sin, which, hello, this is proven easily. What do the disciples ask? Whose sin was it? An unborn infant's sin? Hello? Right. Or the parent's sin? Neither was Jesus' response. Now, here's the part that these people make stuff up about. It was so the Son of God could be glorified. Now, people teach wrongly, oh, God specifically gave that person this sickness. No. Once again, you're thinking Pharisaical, okay? That's what the Pharisees believed. All right? Let's get that straight right now. No. All Jesus is saying there is, now you all know you have your sign. Why do you think when the Pharisees are saying, prove to us that you are who you are, he had already done it. That's why he's saying, you shall have no other sign. Because they had already shown the signs. And the Pharisees knew this. You see, when you know this, then you can see why Jesus responded to these things, why he did. So when they're asking for a sign, well, hello, he's already performed the four miracles. He's already given them all the signs they're going to get. Is everybody with me or is everybody against me?
Gotcha.
And so then what happens? Here's another warning flag. That may, this is out of the ordinary, people. And that is what happens. The Pharisees call the man's parents. Is this man your son? Yes. Who healed him? He's a grown man. Ask him. Because they knew, they were afraid they was going to get kicked out of the synagogue. Because if anybody supported Jesus, they'd be kicked out of synagogue. And so they said, you ask him, he's a grown man. He ain't deaf mute, he's blind, or was blind. And so they call the man in. And the man's like, I don't know, but he must be a great prophet because never in all the world has a man who was born blind been healed. Hello, do you think there is something huge going on? Do y'all see how huge this is now that most time you just fly it over? Oh, that's nice. There's a reason why the Pharisees are grilling this man. And then when the man tells them, after they make the statement that this, the man that did that, he's a sinner. And that's when this man goes to town and says, whoa, 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 never in all the world has this been done before. And we know God is not going to give that kind of power to a sinner. That's what the man stated. What ends up happening? The Pharisees kick him out of the synagogue. Okay, now in those days, being kicked out of the synagogue, you're essentially a leper. Okay, let me put it like that. You're ostracized from society. That's what it meant to be kicked out of the synagogue.
Right.
So then you have, and once again, every one of these miracles were performed more than once. Then you have Lazarus. All except this one was only performed once after 72 hours. Perform with Lazarus. We get the stupid, idiotic teachings that, you know, well, sometimes God puts off miracles. See, right here, he put off that miracle. Yes, one time for one specific purpose. Just like there was only one time that Jesus ever asked a demon its name. Yet, we want to make a theology about you have to ask the demon its name in order, really? No. A one-time event. Lazarus, putting it off for 4 days. A one-time, never happened again, never happened before event. For a specific purpose. This is the other one that also states that this is for so that the Son of God may be glorified. There are two cases Jesus said that, and that was the man born blind and Lazarus. And that's why I believe those two did happen after the other ones. But those were the only two times, but that's the whole reason. Because it proved he was the Messiah. That's the reason he put it off traveling there, He already knew that this sickness was not unto death. Okay? He states that. The whole purpose in his delaying was because it was one of the miracles. So he delays. Lazarus dies. He goes to the tomb, raises Lazarus up. And then what happens? That's where the Pharisees sought to kill Lazarus and Jesus.
Right.
From that moment on. So, you know, we get all kinds of crazy doctrines on healing because of those four specific types of miracles. And I mentioned one of them, Colin. You have to find out the demon's name. You got to call the demon its name. Not at all. He is not teaching. Here's what he taught. Believe.
Amen.
That's what he taught. What he tell disciples. He didn't say, here's your laundry list of how to go about doing this. No, that was the Pharisees. That was the Levitical priesthood that had the laundry list, not Jesus. Only believe. And then what are the other individual healings? All the other individual healings, which a majority, 70% of all the healings listed are one of the four miracles. The rest are all what? The ones the person had the faith.
Right, right.
The woman
right,
with right. The issue of blood, Jairus. Oh, I have never seen such faith in all of Israel, right? Okay. Hello, that should speak to us. Those were the only miracles that are left. Once you understand about the four miracles, about the true messianic miracles, all the other ones, they already had the faith. Now remember, the lunatic boy, deaf mute spirit. Why did that father go from being in faith to the point he asked disciples to pray for his son to not being in faith? It was because until recently, the deaf mute spirit couldn't be cast out. And so then when the disciples are failing, then what happened? Well, I guess no one can cast deaf mute spirit out. Which is also why the disciples had a problem casting out the deaf mute spirit. Because their thoughts were still, wait a minute, this can't be cast out. And you notice with that, there was an argument. When Jesus was coming down the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw the disciples arguing with the Pharisees. All right. Jesus asked, why were you arguing? Then the man's son interrupts. So we don't get the answer. I'm fixing to give you my opinion, which I do believe is the reason, because the Pharisees would be like, hey, that's a deaf mute spirit. You can't cast out, guys. I don't know who you think you are. Y'all ain't the Messiah. Nope, y'all can't do it. Well, Jesus told us to. And in fact, he had already cast out deaf mute spirit, blah, blah, blah. That's what they were arguing about. I feel confident in saying that. But then that made the disciples question. And they see the boy wreathing on the ground, everything else. thrown in the fire. And so now they're thinking, wait a minute, maybe Jesus didn't release us to do the deaf mute spirit. Now we get to, so those are all four. And here's the thing. With the man born blind. All right. When you look at John 10:10, and you look at that whole discourse, they were raising, the Pharisees were raising such Cain because he had just healed them, that one. He was just coming from there, according to the chronologically Bibles. And so he was, when that whole discourse on John 10:10 happens, they're saying, so you're calling us blind. Yes, you are blind. So that's what's going on. So when you go and you read the Gospels and you're studying, look for the red flags that says there's something huge going on here. That's what's going on. And like I made the statement prior to, it wasn't so we could learn about healing. Jesus did not give his disciples, these is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps. No, believe, only believe.
Amen.
That's all there is to it, only believe. Especially after the cross, after his resurrection, only believe. So, with that, y'all stick a fork in me, I'm done.
Well, I don't know about sticking a fork in you, but I'll tell you, that was a well-done delivery on a complicated subject. And I don't think I've ever heard that explained, Brother Tony, at all, about the messianic miracles, the regular miracles, the contrast, the differences. I've never have heard that explained like that. Once again, Brother Tony has taken a complicated subject and broke it down and made it easier so that we, those of us who are healed, want to be healed, or the like, can see clearly what Jesus did. I don't think I ever heard about messianic miracles until I read one of Brother Tony Meyer's books. And that's where I learned about the messianic miracles. I never knew that before. It was never explained. Once again, Brother Tony, thank you for taking a complicated subject and making it very simple, very easy to understand, and very practical. And that's why I was telling you, the Mark Howard Broadcast audience, to listen to Brother Tony Myers with a pen, a pad, a pencil, and a Bible, so you can look at these passages, these scriptures that he's saying, and think it out and pray over it yourself. This was a very, well, once again, this was a very, very good lesson on healing. I mean, the real, you know, the guts and bolts of healing, not just the superficial, particularly. I remember other people in my walk in the Lord, what is your name? What's the name? I mean, really getting all emotional, everything. Tell us your name. And then the person that needed healing got all afraid too, because they were screaming at the person, tell us your name. What is your name? And but to me, I always thought that was strange. But it was one instance where he did that. One instance. And you would think they built a whole theology on it, just like Brother Tony said. Once again, Brother Tony, clarity. Simplicity in a complicated subject. And I can only say thank you. And to the Mark Howard Broadcast, I'll say this. If you have any questions, you don't understand this, go to his web, to Brother Tony's website, Tony Just Believes. Or you can go to his Facebook, his YouTube, or Charisma. He's all over the place. God has made an opportunity for you to hear from him, to learn from him. You can also, if you go to his website, there's a lot of information at that website about Tony, his ministries, his books, and everything else, and his other merchandise, too. He's got some very, very nice merchandise. So I just encourage you all. And also, if you are led and you pray, give to the Tony Myers ministry. He doesn't have, like I said, a traditional ministry. He doesn't have a big staff. He doesn't have all the trappings. He's really a one person, you know, blessed by the God. That's what it is. So if you're led to give to this ministry, please do. You will be blessed. And not for the blessing, but because you know you're helping a ministry that is simple, straightforward, and direct. And I personally think we need so much more of that today, instead of all the trappings, all the traditions, and everything else. And if anyone has ever been taught on Messianic ministries in the way Brother Tony Myers has done it, please contact him. You can also do it through the email that we have on this site, which is simply youareloved@ministry.com. Brother Tony, will you please end us out in prayer?
Be blessed, be healed, and be a blessing.
Wow. Once again, wow. Thank you, Brother Tony. This is the weekend. And what I might suggest to the Mark Howard broadcast, instead of just running around end of the weekend and everything else, listen to this lesson again, again, and again. I mean, really, listen to it, pray over it, meditate on it, and enjoy your weekend and be healed. As Brother Tony says, be healed, be blessed, and be a blessing. Thank you all, and God bless you all. In the precious name of our Son, his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.